Welcome to Whiskey Wednesdays, where we drink the finest whiskey and argue the most important topics on the internet.
Because if there's anything that the internet doesn't love more, it's telling people they're wrong and debating things.
And with each topic, we've taken sides. And even if we don't really care, we're gonna die on this hill.
So hear us out and let us know why we're wrong.
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
What are we drinking today?
So this is one of my all-time favorites, and probably if you're in the bourbon world, Blanton's is known as one of the best bourbons that you can get. I do want to thank Chase. He's one of our buddies for getting this for us. He lives down in Kentucky. Blanton's is really hard to find because it's such a sought-after bourbon. So quick background on Blanton's. Blanton's is distilled by Buffalo Trace in Frankfort, Kentucky. It's 93 proof. And when you sip it, there's vanilla on the nose of it, and then like a citrus oak on the palate after. Story about Blanton's. Blanton's is the original single barrel bourbon, and that happened in 1984. And the reason that's special is up until that point, distillers would make hundreds of barrels of bourbon and then mix them together to create the flavor profile that they would like.
Okay.
So taking a single barrel and bottling that was unheard of up until 1984. Elmer T. Lee, who worked there at the time, remembered that Colonel Blanton would go into Warehouse H, and would go into the center of it, into this special place.
Warehouse H.
Would find these barrels, which they would call the honey barrels. He figured out that in this one place, in this warehouse, these barrels, for some reason, were better than all the rest.
So they
called it the honey barrels.
Okay.
So Colonel Blanton would do that. He would go and pick out those honey barrels, and he would serve those, because it was the best of the best, to, if there were foreign dignitaries coming in, any special people, he would serve those special ones to.
Okay.
So that's kind of the background of that. It's the original single barrel bourbon. And
that's fascinating. You can even see on here, it even says on this Blanton's bottle. So this is Blanton's on 10-26-20, barrel number 212, stored in warehouse H, which we now know stands for honey.
So the reason that I picked Blanton's for today, not only because I want to make sure that we pick some really good bourbons, and anybody watching this is going to know this is really good bourbon, is that today we're going to be debating 9mm versus 45.
Yeah, we are.
Right? So when I looked at this, I'm like, pretty sure this is what 45 guys think they're shooting out of the gun, like a cannonball, right?
Basically,
like,
the size.
It's about the size, at least this is the size of the hole that it'll make.
Yeah, the entry wound.
Right? Versus, you know, 9mm is this
puny thing,
puny little guy right here.
Yeah,
45 guys think that this is what they're shooting. So, thought that was kind of a funny.
This is exactly what we're shooting. That's why there's so much recoil.
Yeah, so I thought this would be a good one for today. Pour a finger or so in here.
Give me about half that.
Give you a little splash.
That's it. All right. That's what I want. Mm. So good?
So good.
All right.
Okay. Mm. I don't really want to debate. I just want to sit here and sip on some Blanton's. Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean, though, about the vanilla up front.
The vanilla, yeah.
Yeah.
It is very distinct vanilla up front. And then that, I love the oakiness. Okay. So debating 9mm versus 45.
9mm versus 45.
You chose 45 because you're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, it's not an easy one to defend.
You had a tough one last week.
Mm-hmm.
We did hear from you guys, and a lot of you thought that Dusty's position was tough.
It was. Unbelievably tough.
And you have another tough one this week.
I do.
But
yeah.
Each round has some good things to think about. And there's a reason why 45 is such a long tenured, and 9mm are such long tenured rounds.
That's right.
In the defensive.
They're amazing.
And competition worlds, right?
Yeah.
So today we are specifically talking about defensive rounds.
Right.
Hollow point rounds, we're talking 25 yards and in. We're specifically wanting to focus in on defensiveness here.
Correct, yeah. Right?
So I thought maybe we could kind of go back and forth and kind of give some facts. We're going to lay the groundwork and lay some facts down for each round.
Okay.
I'll give you just a kind of a quick quick background. So
little stats swap.
Yeah, quick background look at 9mm Luger, or also called 9mm Parabellum. So it was created in 1901 by Austrian George Luger. It allowed Luger to improve the function of, I'm going to butcher this, the Borchardt pistol, and make the grip smaller and more angled. It helped with the function of the round.
Got it.
The round that he was starting off of was longer, so he made it a little bit shorter.
So he wanted to make the grip fit in your hand better and your angle be better, right?
Okay. Yep. It was also created to be lighter weight, and this also allowed higher capacity in the guns, and it also kept costs down because it takes less lead, takes less brass, less powder.
Smaller overall, we saw.
Smaller
how
overall,
it was comparatively.
So it's going to help in all those areas.
Okay.
So that's just it, and some of the other benefits for them. It was higher velocity, meant flatter shooting, and slightly longer range than the ammos that than the round that they're using.
Okay,
before.
That's pretty fascinating. Yeah. So I'll tell you about the 45 ACP, aka 45 Auto, aka Stopping Power Baby, right? It's a rimless, straight-walled handgun cartridge. It was designed by John Moses Browning. In 1904, Browning created this round for use in his new prototype gun. You may have heard it, the Colt M1911.
Heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, you might have. I mean, it's a good gun. And the round was specifically developed due to a lack of stopping power with the current rounds. The current round was a 38 long Colt, and that was being used by the Sulu, country of Sulu, which was in the Philippines. The Moru Rebellion in the Philippines was the current conflict that was going on, and they needed a little more punch in their rounds, so they talked to Browning, said, hey, we need something. And he's like, well, I got this cool prototype pistol coming out, needs a bigger round. I got you.
There's quite a difference in size between
massive
the 38 and 45.
Massive.
John Browning was like, you want bigger?
I got you, fam.
I got you.
And he's like, so like this much? No. Like this? No. Like this much? No. Like, and then eventually he came out with this.
We want this. Yeah, we want a hand cannon. So I will give John Browning that. He is, as some people call him, our Lord and Savior, John Browning.
Brilliant man.
You've seen those memes.
Yes, absolutely. Brilliant for his time, right?
Absolutely.
So,
So
clearly, you know, someone that brilliant comes up with the best round over just some guy who's like, I want a smaller handle.
So it is interesting. We do want to take a minute just to give a little background so we understand where these rounds came from, because I think it does play into, and it kind of goes on to further some of our coming debate here.
Sure.
Of the pros and cons for each round. All right, so let's go back and forth with a few more boring stats here.
We got some stats.
But they're very important.
Interesting stats.
All right, we are both basing this off of Speer Gold Dot.
Yes.
Ammo. It's a very, very common round.
Right.
We figure this is a good kind of just baseline. We understand there is a ton to ballistics between barrel lengths and plus P and plus plus P, and it just they're plus P plus and all kinds of things.
They got like expanding rounds and shard rounds and explosive rounds.
But we each picked Speer Gold Dot and kind of the most common grain in our caliber. So I'm looking at 124 grain Speer Gold Dot. I'm looking at muzzle 364 feet pounds of energy and 1,150 feet per second at the muzzle.
At muzzle for me, if we're trading off here. Right, I'm rocking the 230 grain Speer Gold Dot 45.
Considerably
auto.
Almost double.
Yeah, that's a big round. Okay, at muzzle, we've got 343 foot pounds. What was yours?
364.
Slightly bigger. And then muzzle velocity, which I believe is slower than yours, is at 820 feet per second.
Yeah, 9mm is barely supersonic.
Yeah,
supersonic's about 1,100. This is 1,150. Barely supersonic, but it is. And you are.
It still whistles when it goes by.
You are well under.
And this just goes.
Supersonic.
Glides.
Yeah. So, how about at 25 yards? This round is at 328 foot pounds from 364, and it's at 1,092 feet per second from 1,150.
It loses quite a bit of velocity pretty quickly. So mine is at 200 or 328 foot pounds.
The same.
It's like dead nuts the same, and that it is only moving at that point. It has lost 19 feet per second, so it's at 801.
Interesting.
Holds the feet per second pretty strong.
So 25 yards,
yeah.
Both rounds have the same foot-pound energy.
Yeah, yep.
And really, not a... The 9mm has a little bit more a speed of velocity at that, yeah. that range, but not a lot more.
No, yeah.
So it's kind of fascinating to see at 25 yards how similar both of these
right.
of these rounds are. let's talk cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So 9mm, so this round we're talking about is MSRP is $36.
Mine would be around $41.99, so $42 for 20 rounds. Yours is for 20 rounds too.
Mm. So it's a little bit more. Not yeah. I'm seeing them out more, but just a little bit more. About 45 is. All right, this is it might be interesting. So 9mm opens up, this round opens up to be 0.7 inches, which is pretty crazy. When you look at how small a 9mm is,
yeah.
it opens up to near 3/4 inch when it pedals up.
Yeah.
What does yours look like?
Mine would be right around 0.76 inches, so just a little over 3/4 inch.
Yeah, so about 16th inch larger
yeah.
than 9mm.
Right.
And and what I'm going to guess goes in, again, neither of us are experts in this, we're just researched in this. My suspicion is that the reason 45 doesn't open up to like over an inch, because it's a shorter, stubbier round.
Right.
You can only get so much pedaling before it's going to break off.
Yeah, the front's only lifts. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas 9mm is longer, so you have more right. capability to open up. So keep that in mind. So 45 does out expand.
Yeah.
9mm, not by much, but every tenth counts, I would think. And the last kind of stat we have here is ballistic gel penetration. This round is at 13.25 inches.
Mine would be at 15.5
wow.
inches.
So
serious penetration.
See. I don't know how you don't laugh at these numbers. Okay. So we've laid down some stats and some history and some groundwork here. I'm actually surprised at how close.
Very similar.
How close these rounds are.
Yes.
So
I do have a bit more.
Okay.
In terms of stopping power. I have a bit more in terms of expansion. You have more muzzle velocity, but in general, like the overall energy transfer, just
so you bring up stopping power. That's an interesting
stopping power.
Tell me about stopping power. What makes something have stopping power?
Well, you actually had the definition earlier and I can't remember it off the top
of
my head.
So
you wrote it down.
So stopping power, I know you 45 guys like to think that because you're shooting something this big, that just automatically means that it has stopping power. But stopping power doesn't mean the impact that a round has
its
target.
It's not impact energy.
It means how quickly will that round incapacitate its target? How good is it at creating
right.
wounding and
yeah.
you're right? So how quickly can it stop your target?
Stop the target.
That is
right.
by, not by sheer size, but
yeah.
by how well it can wound.
And damage.
And damage its
internal organs.
Its target. So yeah. with that knowledge, we can already just take off of the table. We're not, you know, saying that the 45 is 100 grain more means it has some crazy amount more stopping power. That's not
technically true, right?
Right, that's not
yeah.
true.
It's not reasonable to assume that just because it's heavier, remember, just because it's heavier doesn't mean that it has more energy. It does have a little more energy, but just like the weight isn't what gives it to it, isn't only what gets it to
well,
it, right?
Well, that's not true. The size isn't what gives it to it.
Right.
Weight.
The mass.
The
yes.
mass does have
right.
does have something to do with it.
Yes.
So,
but velocity technically has double the amount to do with it, which is why they made it go faster. And it still is able to deliver the same amount of energy.
Right.
Yeah.
And with 9mm technology and the technology that's going in these rounds, to me, makes 9mm the superior round because it's It's smaller, it's less expensive, you have more capacity, and it opens up to create, some major wounding.
Okay.
In the target. I can't even imagine thinking of any other round, especially 45, just doesn't make sense to me. But, why would I want something I can carry less of in my gun when I can have more of something?
Oh, back to what you were saying, the logic that doctor has is that handgun rounds are moving far too slow. They have any major, hydrostatic shock?
Right.
And what was the other massively fancy word that you had us write down a while ago? And I forgot too.
I don't remember.
It was temporary.
A temporary wound cavity.
Cavity.
And permanent wound.
Yeah, temporary wound cavity expansion and permanent wound cavity expansion. And handgun rounds do have some of that, but they aren't really moving fast enough to make it notable in terms of the difference between 9mm and 45, something we learned while researching this. Rifle rounds, on the other hand, have massive temporary and permanent wound cavities just because of the ballistics of the round, how fast they're moving and how much air they pull with them and behind them.
Right, but so, if we're gonna talk about carry defensive weapons here, unfortunately rifle rounds don't really get to make...
Not really.
Don't really get to enter into this conversation.
At the moment.
Unless if... Yeah. The old adage, I use my pistol to get to my rifle.
Sure, which is smart.
Which, yeah, I mean, honestly,
intelligent. That's called intelligence.
What you should do. If you have a rifle, uh-huh. If you have a rifle nearby, use that pistol to get to that rifle.
Yes.
But I got to think 9mm has more of the temporary and permanent wound cavity expansion than 9mm. I'm shooting something supersonic. So I'm gonna get more.
It may. But as that doctor said, they're basically the same. So in terms of that, it's wherever the round hits. If it hits.
Yeah, it's all about shot placement.
Yeah. So bigger round equals a little floppier. You can be on shot placement. But smaller round equals smaller sloppiness. You can be on shot.
I don't know that. I don't know that argument stands. Like you're talking about something that's like a 16th inch.
16th inch gets the job done, man.
It might.
Yep.
It might be what you need.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take 9mm because, and I'm not saying that I'm like, volume over accuracy here. I'm not trying to say that at all. But if I can carry 15 rounds, hearing from this doctor that there's people with 8 to 10 bullet holes that are still alive, that if they're still alive, that means they're still deadly.
Sure.
So I might need to shoot somebody 11 times, 12 times.
It's a good thing I worked for a reload company. Problem solved.
It's true. But I don't know too many 45 small, concealed carry guns that hold that kind of capacity.
I want one.
I mean, sorry, 1911 guys. From these stats, we're finding out your 8 rounds.
You're going to need a reload.
Likely won't get it done, even though you think you're shooting.
I know where you can get reloads from. We got a site, www.theneomag.com. Just go on there, grab the large that's gonna work for you. And then you got your same capacity, so.
So I am gonna try to, we've been saving all the links to where we find info. I'm gonna leave them in the comments so that you can go see for yourself.
I got another point to bring up.
Okay.
So we've taken a lot of vehicle courses.
Yep.
And part of the vehicle courses, you realize that window glass deviates rounds. And I don't really want to go into how that all works because it's something you should just go take a course on. But what you find is that when you're shooting out of a car, your rounds deviate up. And when you're shooting into a car, your rounds deviate down. And part of that deviation is varied by the amount of mass of your round. So smaller rounds, like even a .223 round, which is moving very quickly, tends to deviate a lot when it impacts glass. Same thing with 9mm. 300 blackout and 45 tend to deviate less. So your accuracy when shooting in and out of a vehicle until you've broken holes through the glass tends to be greater when using a heavier round. I think it's a major pro for the 45 that people tend to overlook. One, when you're in a car, I'm gonna call it breech pressure, but the pressure that's created when the round first goes off is lower, therefore the concussion inside of the car is lower. And the round is subsonic. So it punches a hole through that glass and leaves you a bit less disoriented.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I can argue with that.
I think.
I mean, when you look at like a 4570, it's a brush gun. A giant, heavy bullet is called a brush gun because it just blasts through brush.
It literally will take out limbs and still maintain the same course or trajectory.
I'm going to counter that, though. Okay. But we've also taken automobile classes and shot 9mm solid copper that went through pillars.
It's amazing. It was mind-blowing.
It was insane to see a 9mm. There's no way a 45, I don't care what it is.
Solid copper 45 round has the same amount of energy.
That's true. We did not test.
We didn't test
a solid copper 45. That is terrifying to think about,
actually.
Who
made that? Fort Scott Munitions.
Fort Scott solid copper 9mm went through an A pillar.
Something to behold. Yeah, I went through a B pillar, and then the second round that I shot, which I have in my office, it was amazing, went on the hinge that changed the door, and it stamped the numbers on the hinges into the round, but it did not penetrate through it.
But you get that from speed. I actually would put money on that the 45 would not make it through, just because of the sheer size of that round that needs to make it through a pillar. That 9mm solid copper.
I don't know.
And you're something else. If we do kind of want to get into different
specialty rounds,
different loads, there are 60 grain 9mm.
Yeah.
That will defeat body armor.
Sure.
They are so fast. Speed is king.
I was looking online, and there's a 90 grain 45. Oof. Could you imagine the speed? And it was something like 1,200 feet per second. But once again, you can change your rounds out, and make any gun do different things, right?
Right.
Like high speed, if you want that, find a round that's high speed. It's plus P plus rounds typically have a much higher pressure.
And that's something we didn't get into, the plus P plus.
And again, we
started this off by saying there are so many different types of rounds out there and a drastic difference in ballistics between the type of gun and the barrel they're coming out of and all that stuff. But I think it was interesting for us to dig into. We thought that we were going to be able to just take more staunch sides on this.
I really did.
And we really kind of came down to that neither of them are great.
Yeah. Pistols suck at killing people.
At killing. So I think we've solved this.
We have.
By saying, carry a rifle.
Go get a rifle. Why?
That's
problem solved.
Yeah. Yep. And more than anything, I believe we've proved that 45 sucks.
No, absolutely not. Suppress a 9mm.
I have.
Okay. Then suppress a 45.
I have.
Which one's cooler?
They're both freaking awesome.
No, because the 9mm still has the sonic boom. The 45 goes...
No, by definition, subsonic. I have subsonic. We've shot my 9mm.
No, you have to get specifically 9mm subsonic. 45 all is right. Subsonic. All the 45s is subsonic.
Okay.
It's a beautiful round. And suppressed rounds are way cooler.
I don't care what it is, but suppressed, I'm...
Yeah, I'm absolutely. In. But could you imagine concealed carrying a suppressor from a 45?
No, I don't want to.
Be awesome, man.
All right, guys, you let us know which caliber is your favorite and why. Did we forget something? Are we morons?
Yes, I can tell
we are. I mean, we are. But tell us why we're wrong. We would love to hear it. And let's talk real quick about our next subject.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
So, I thought... This is something that on social media we get hit with a lot.
Oh, this is going to be controversial.
When they see our video on this, people are like, you're going to shoot your junk off. And
don't you ever know that you're not supposed to point a gun at something that you don't want to shoot?
So, you guys can tell from that, we're going to discuss appendix versus hip carry.
Dibs on appendix! I'm tired of defending the tough side.
Guys, help me out so I can beat this guy in next week's Whiskey Wednesday.
There ain't no way. Appendix?
Hip carry is better.
No way.
People have been doing it for so long. You know what? I don't want to get into it now.
I'm telling you right now.
Next week.
You're going to lose this battle.
You're going down.
No, absolutely not.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Cheers. What is the story with the tops of these?
Right, so this is kind of their signature thing with Blanton's. As you see here, there's guy riding a horse. Well, we're in the heat. We're in the center of Kentucky, where horse racing is big.
That's
right?
The horse racing country.
So there's actually 8 different stoppers.
Okay.
Each one is in a different stride, of the horse.
Yeah, oh, I see.
Of the horse galloping. And you can actually see there's a little letter right here, L. So it spells Blanton's.
That's cool.
If you collect them all, it spells Blanton's, and each one is in a different stride. The best way to collect them all is to have to keep buying barrels. I'm sorry. The best way to find them all is to keep buying bottles of Blanton's until you get them all.
Right.
Now, both of the traces made it a little bit easier. You can actually go into their gift shop and you can just buy whichever stop you need.
Buy whichever one you want.
Unfortunately, I have like two L's, and so that doesn't really help me out too much.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of their signature thing.
So the lids really don't have anything to do with what's in it. It's just a collector's series.
Yeah, it just kind of adds some value to
the actual barrel is written on.
Yeah, I mean, we're marketing guys.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a way
to make something
collectible and to make it difficult to be collectible.
Do they make displays for these?
There are. If you Google Blanton's stopper displays, you'll find they'll take a stave out of a barrel.
Yeah.
And they'll drill into it so you can put them. So you got barrel
you
there,
the stave, and then you have the
got them in there. There's all kinds of things with those.
That stuff's actually really good.
Yeah.
Like it's not the best I've ever tasted, but dang, it's pretty good.
No, I do think it's overhyped.
Yeah.
I think so. MSRP on this is 65.
Yeah.
This regularly, easily sells in the secondary.
That's crazy.
For three times that.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, I saw it at a place selling it for $2.90 something.
Yeah.
Like it's not worth it.
No,
sorry. It's a $100.
It is a solid drink. Yeah. I would maybe pay like, I don't know, between 75 and 100. Like if I was having a hard time finding it, I really want to have it on the shelf. I like to always have it on the shelf because it is such a sought after bottle that if I have friends over
and they like Blanton's
and they're like, Blanton's, I've never had that.
Here you go, man.
Here you go. You get to experience it. So I like to keep a bottle around for that reason.
Cool.
That's about it.
I do like this.
Yeah, it was very good.
46.5% alcohol by volume. 93 proof. I like the fact that they write on it with pen.
Anytime I see a bottle that is handwritten on.
Yeah, you know it's going to be decent. Yeah.
Because
someone's put the time and effort to actually make this.
It was good enough, special enough
to
get handwritten on.
Some guy sat
just,
there and,
not
oh,
just
this came from this
lot. Labeled.
Yeah. That's cool. All right, man.
All right, that's going to be an interesting one because I don't know that either of us really...
I also think we ramble on for way too long.